Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptation, that's where you'll face to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God.
Thank you. Amen. All right, we're coming to you live. This is Dr. Ventura, Sound Doctrine Broadcast, brought to you by Interpraisement Media. I'm their guest tonight on the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. I want to thank Brother John Hill. I want to thank Nathan on the spot, and Brother Andrew and Brother Lewis and all those involved here. We want to thank you for your time, DL. We want to thank the listeners from around the world. We want to thank you for listening in. We want to thank you for your generous comments, for your support, for your blessings, for your prayers. And we're grateful to have you, and we thank the Lord that we have this opportunity to preach sound doctrine. You know, once a month we come out and we give a little sermon, nothing that's too long, but something that's going to touch our hearts. And we try to get to the point where we're preaching camp-style meetings. Amen. If you've never been to a camp meeting or a revival meeting, well, this is where we're going to get it. We want to give you the scriptures, and we want to give them to you correctly. We want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ the way it should be preached. We're not going to hold back anything, Lord willing. Tonight we're going to come to you from Psalm 94, and I'll give you a chance to get there. The title of this sermon is, Have I Fooled You, Lord? Have I Fooled You, Lord? Amen. Amen. While you're looking there at Psalm 94, there's 11 questions there in Psalm 94, and you can find them in the Psalm. That is, at least those of us who are reading our Bibles will find it, unless you have bibliophobia and you're afraid to open that book. And you shouldn't be, because it's the last and the final word of faith and practice, amen, in the Christian life. And at least those of us who read it will find 11 questions. And, you know, the sweet psalmist, the prophet of Psalm 94 is calling out to God, if I might set the stage for you, and he's calling out for justice. And he's complaining of the tyranny and the impiety of the wicked. And it's the cry of every saved Jew doctrinally in the tribulation. And we're not far from the tribulation. We're not far from the rapture. We're in the end times, and anybody who would say we aren't is only fooling themselves. You read Matthew 24, and as you read Matthew 24, you discover that those are the signs of the second advent of Jesus Christ. And if you would, the shadow of those signs have fallen upon our time, and we are getting closer and closer, and there's no time to waste. Today is the day of salvation, and anybody who's out there who's a Christian and you're not soul winning and you're not doing the will of God, you need to check yourself, because criminally you're responsible to God because you're refusing to give water to those who are dying of thirst, and they're on their way to hell, and that water is the word of God. Amen. And so we find the psalmist, and the psalmist is, the prophet is calling out to God for justice. And he cries out for justice. And if you, he says, O Lord, in verse 1, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shew thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? Lord, have mercy. That's verses 1 to 4. Amen? And there are 11 questions in Psalm 94, excuse me, 11 questions in Psalm 94, and I intend to set before you this day, this evening, only 5 of those 11 questions by the way of this sermon. There's not enough of time in an hour to answer all the questions, but these are questions that you have to ask yourself, and this is the questions that the psalmist has asked. This is the word of God, and there are 11 of those questions. But again, we're only going to address 5. And verse number 8, the question is, ye fools, when will ye be wise? Ye fools, when will you be wise? Question put plainly is, when are you going to smarten up? That's what the psalmist is asking. When are you going to smarten up? Now, I know that if you're a dispensationalist, which every Christian should be, that doctrinally this is a tribulation passage. And you see, that's just the thing the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you. There's a spiritual application here also. And so the question to you as a Christian is, when are you going to get smart? And, oh, yeah, you got the right Bible, and you got the right doctrine, and you got the right Bible study, and some of you even teach the Bible. Some of you can quote the Bible real good. And, you know, some of you got the right clothes. Some of you got the right look. But you know how I know this question applies to a Christian spiritually? Because the psalmist said, ye fools, when will ye be wise? Amen. You know that there are some Christian fools in the world? There are Christian fools. We're not talking about Psalm 14:1, which says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. He's a fool not because he's stupid. He's a fool because he says there's no God. But that's not what the psalmist is asking here. He said there's Christian fools. Ephesians 5:15-16, the Apostle Paul said, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Paul was admonishing the Christian fools to be wise. And just as there were Christian fools in Paul's day, there are Christian fools today, even among us, even among the listeners, right now, right here, today. And now, you know, I thank God for the Apostle Paul. The beloved Apostle Paul said he did not want you and I, he did not want any man to be ignorant. Amen. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. And you want to know how to be a Christian fool? All you have to do is pretend you don't know the answer to the next four questions. Amen. And I'm going to present those questions to you this evening. The Holy Spirit, by the mouth of the Apostle Paul, told the Christian, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-7. And some of you are sleeping, and some of you need a spiritual awakening today. Amen. Wake up. God is waiting for you to wake up. So first, the psalmist would ask you, ye fools, when will ye be wise? He wants to know, when you're going to get smart. And if you want to be a Christian fool, you just pretend. You sit there and pretend you don't know the answer to the next four questions. Amen. Amen. Here they are. Verse number 9 of Psalm 94. We find this question. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? For the second question is, if God can construct the human ear, do you think that he isn't capable of hearing? The human ear consists of at least 31 major parts. Sound waves enter the ear canal and hit the eardrum. The eardrum vibrates and relays vibrations to the ossicles. And the ossicles transmit the vibrations to the oval window. It's a membrane that covers the entrance to the cochlea. The vibrations pass into the cochlea where the fluid activates the tiny hair-like receptor cells called mechanoreceptors located in the organ of corti. And these cells send nerve impulses along the vestibular nerve to the auditory center in the temporal lobe of the brain where sounds are interpreted. The ear is also responsible for your balance and for your sensitivity to gravity. Amen. You know why God gave you two ears and one mouth? It's an old saying, but it's true. You should listen more and talk less. Amen. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? That's what the psalmist is asking you tonight, my brothers, my sisters, young and old, boy and girl, man and woman. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? You know why I say we have some Christian fools around here? No. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you why. Some of my Christian brothers are walking around cursing and singing things they ought not and talking about things they ought not and fellowshipping with the unsaved in a way that they ought not to be speaking unless they're trying to get them saved and even some with the saved. And a real Christian fool is someone who thinks just because there's no Christian brethren around them, no one's hearing their filthy language, their sinful conversations, their worldly talk. Well, I got news for you. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear you? The Apostle James said, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. James 3:10. So you better remember who's listening and never mind who's not. Did you get that? You better quit being a Christian fool and remember who's listening and never mind who is not. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? This brings us to our second question, or third, actually, in verse number 9. The psalmist would ask you tonight, my brethren, my friends, he that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? The third question is, if I may, if God can construct a marvel like the human eye, do you think that God is blind? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The retina in your eye. The retina is the inner layer of the eye, and it is made up of light-sensitive cells. They're called photoreceptors and called rods and cones, with more than 100 million rods, over 500 million cones. That is only one part of the human eye, just one part of the human eye. And again, the psalmist would ask you, he that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? A Christian fool thinks God can't see what he's doing when he's alone. Let me say that again. A Christian fool thinks God can't see what he's doing when he's alone. A Christian fool thinks God doesn't hear and see his every move. And I'm telling you tonight, my brother, God is watching you. So if you're a Christian fool, you just keep on doing what you're doing. Go ahead, keep fooling yourself. Keep pretending God is not seeing you. Just because you can block out the sun with your thumb doesn't mean it's not shining. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, God sees. God hears. He created the eye. He created the ear. Shall he not know man? Amen. We have Christian fools walking around like nobody knows what they're doing. You know what you're doing, my brother. This brings us to the third question, or fourth question. It's found in verse number 10. He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? Now think about that. He that chasteneth the heathen, the unsaved, shall he not correct the saved? The psalmist asks you this evening, Psalm 94, verse 10, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? The fourth question is, if I may, if God punishes the unsaved, do you think you're going to get away with it? Do you think you're going to get away with what you're doing as a saved child of God? Paul said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just compensatory reward, how shall we escape? Hebrews 2:2-3, how shall we escape? You can pretend that God is not hearing what you are saying, and you could pretend God is not seeing what you are doing. But I have news for you, the Christian fool. With God, there is 100% accountability at the judgment seat of Christ. No Christian can pass the judgment seat of Christ. The psalmist asks, shall he not correct? Oh, he will correct. He will correct. You can believe that. The scripture says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12:6. Almighty God has his children. Those are the Christians. And any good parent corrects his children. But children don't need to be corrected if they are living correctly. Amen. And if you're walking around as a circumspectly sober-minded, living focused on Jesus Christ, God shouldn't have to chasten you. For the scriptures say if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen. Thank God. But for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. My brothers, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, the scriptures say. Why? Because God loves you, and God wants to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And if you want to avoid the chastening of the Lord, you must watch what you say. You must not be a Christian fool. You must watch what you see. Job said, I will put no evil thing before my eyes. Amen. Some of you spend more time in front of that television, listening to the news, listening to programs of covetousness and materialism, and you don't even read the Word of God. There's 24 hours in a day, 7 times 24 in a week, and you won't give God but 10 minutes a day to read the Scriptures. Shame on you. I don't want to be in your shoes, you wretched backslider, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not going to come out with any rewards. You're going to come out tried by fire, and you're going to still have your salvation, but you're going to smell like burnt toast. Lord, have mercy. Woo, you're going to walk by some people, and they're going to say, "Woo, man, you smell that?" Amen. He said he will try your works. Hay, wood, and stubble would be burned up. Silver, gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. Win some souls to Jesus Christ. Do something for the Lord. I would ask every brother, every sister, old and young, to think and ask yourself today one question. What have I done just for Jesus today? What have I done just for Jesus today? One question. Now back to Psalm 94, my brother. Here's our final question. The psalmist would ask you out there, and he also is asking me. The psalmist asks, he that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? Well, God is the teacher, the Holy Spirit. He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? The last question is simply this. Since God imparted to man the ability to think, do you think that God doesn't know what's going on inside your head? Let me say that again. Since God imparted man the ability to think, do you think that God doesn't know what is going on inside your head? You're supposed to conform every thought to the Scripture. Verse 11 of this same psalm says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." They are vanity. And it may come as a surprise, but God knows what you have been saying. God knows what you've been hearing. God knows what you've been doing. God knows what you've been thinking. Christian, since God Almighty created a brain that can think, it should come as no surprise to you whatsoever. No surprise to you whatsoever. God knows what you've been thinking. He knows. He knows. He's the God of the universe. He knows how many atoms it takes to make the universe. Don't you understand the majesty of God? The majesty. God Almighty. Like Jesus Christ could stand up from the throne and put the universe upon his shoulders and wear it for a robe. Hallelujah. We serve Almighty God. Amen. You may hide your sinful talk, your sinful speech, your sinful lust of the eyes, and even your sinful thoughts from your pastor, from your wife, from your husband, from your brother, from your sister, from the deacons, from your neighbors and other brothers. But the Scriptures say, no shadow can be cast upon the ears and the eyes and the mind of God Almighty. In the book of Job is contained this fact. Amen. Can I remind you, a fact never has to apologize for itself. A fact never has to apologize for itself. Elihu said this in Job 34:22. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You can't hide from God. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to turn to God and say, God, I've seen things I ought not to see this week. I've heard things I ought not to hear this week. I've said things I should not have said this week. I hung out with backslidden brothers this week and didn't encourage them to get right. I allowed the unsaved to curse and swear in front of me because I didn't want to compromise my friendship. And God, I've compromised my Christian walk. Forgive me, Lord. And Lord, have mercy on you. Now, you can keep pretending God doesn't hear you or see what you've been doing. And so the psalmist asks you this day, ye fool, when will ye be wise? When are you going to get wise? When are you going to smarten up? Amen? You know, we serve a mighty God. We walk around in this day and age. We want instant everything, instant oatmeal, instant pudding, instant everything, instant television, instant internet, instant love, instant gratification. We're too lazy to search the scriptures like the Bereans did. The Bereans searched the scriptures to find out if these things were so. We've become a nation dependent on materialism. Slothfulness and brethren who are afraid to search the scriptures to read the Bible. They'll believe anybody saying anything. Just because they named the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord said they'd come to him in the end time saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. Listen, and the Lord said, I never knew you. I never knew you. The Lord said, if you want a false prophet in Ezekiel, he will give you the prophet. He will not only give you the prophet, he will give you a lion prophet. And he will put a lie in the prophet's mouth, because that's what you wanted. And when he holds that prophet accountable, he will hold you accountable as well. Lord, have mercy. You better know what you're listening to. If the devil can use the Apostle Peter, remember he rebuked Christ for going to the cross. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest not the things of the Lord. You better listen to whose spirit you're listening to. I saw a man on television a week ago, and my Christian fool brethren are buying this nonsense. He's selling 20 miracles in a bottle of water that he's blessed and prayed over, and he guarantees 20 miracles for $20. Selling the Word of God, peddling the Word of God. And Christian fools are out there. And the psalmist asks you tonight, when are you going to get wise? When? How long? Halt ye between two opinions. Elijah asked on Mount Carmel. Today is the day of salvation. Wise up, Christian. Wise up. You need to daily take inventory in your life. You need to keep your account short with the Lord Jesus Christ before the chastisement of the Lord catches up with you. Years ago, I used to put a sign in my window in the prison. And the sign said, it was a little Bible tract, and it said, it's not funny when God laughs. It's not funny when God laughs. Many men used to come by and say to me, what's that mean? I'd say, you know what it means. They know what it meant. They didn't need me to explain it. And you know the consequences of living in sin. Clean it up and live for Jesus. Quit playing with God. Lord, have mercy. You need to go back and ask yourself those five questions. You need to ask yourself, what am I going to smarten up? Have I been a Christian fool? When are you going to be wise? You need to ask yourself that question. You need to take inventory and stock of your Christian walk. You need to ask yourself, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Have I been saying things that I ought not to have? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Have I been looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at? He that chastised the heathen, shall he not correct? Would you have any fear of God in your life? God's got more weight. Listen, when a Christian outlives his use on this earth, when he refuses to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for him and washed him in his blood and saved and sanctified and sealed him, when a Christian fails to live for Jesus Christ, then God has only two options left. One to break you down and get you right, or two to take you out of the world. Your only purpose is to win souls and to disciple and baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Christian ministry. Get them saved, maintain them, produce fruit. Fruit produces after its kind. Apple trees do not produce grapes. Grapes do not produce lemons. Lemons do not produce cherries. Christians produce Christians. Go ye into all the world is the commandment. When are you going to wise up, Christian? How long, all three between two up here, how long are you going to play with God? God, have mercy on you. The days are short. The time is short. Can't you see the things going on in the world around you? The day of the Lord is upon us. The day of Jesus Christ. You're going to get to heaven and you're going to not, you're not even going to have any rewards. You read through these Psalms and you read through the Old Testament and you don't even stop and think and ask and pray, God, speak to me through your word as I read. Talk to me. Talk to me. He's talking to you. He says, when are you going to be wise? How could you walk around saying things out of your mouth and think I don't hear you? Why do you think those thoughts and think that I don't hear you? Why do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God which is in you? Your sin grieves the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God, it says in Corinthians. You are the temple of God. And inside that temple is the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says you can quench the Spirit. Your sin can separate you from God. And I ask you, Christian, as the psalmist would ask you tonight if he was standing here before you. Ye fools, when will ye be wise? Amen. God, mercy. We live in a time and people say, well, you can't preach like that. You can't preach like that. My goodness. Dude, John the Baptist was in the wilderness crying. He wasn't walking around with a hanky saying, Jesus is coming. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, repent. You need to let the devil know you're in town. Amen? Too much of this nonsense in the Christian realm. It kills me. My brethren will go and sit and watch a baseball game or a football game and know the name of every player and know their ratings and their averages, their golf scores, their handicaps, and they can't even give you the name of 12 of the apostles. They'll root and scream in front of 50,000 people, go, go, and they wouldn't yell for Jesus Christ across the street. Shame on you. My goodness, Jesus Christ died, perfect, sinless. God left the glories of heaven and came to the earth to a dying and decaying and disgusting world. Everything is devolving. There's no evolution here. It's devolution. Don't put your car in the garage for 20 years and tell me it turns into a horse. Cut it out. And Jesus Christ came down from heaven because he loved you. He loved you. He knew you were a sinner. He didn't say, I got a surprise. Oh, brother so-and-so did this. Never thought he'd do that. That isn't God. God's not waiting with a hammer to pound you in the head. God says, come. Come, take my yoke upon you. Jesus Christ loved you enough to suffer the humility, the disgrace of the worst death. They couldn't take his life from him. He laid it down because he loved you and I, Christian. And how do we repay that love? By living in sin? By disgracing our Lord? By telling our neighbors we're Christians and then living like the devil all week? And going to church on Sundays and pretending we're in church? Pretending we're Christians? Lord, have mercy on your wretched soul. And I don't know where you are now, but sooner I'd get straight with God before it's too late, because your cup is getting full. And God has a cup, just like the cup of the Amorites. And when it got full, Israel went in and conquered them. And God, don't make them pour out your cup as a cup of wrath. Let it be a cup of blessing. Get right with God. Go find the answer to the question I asked in the beginning of the program. What have you done today for Jesus? See if you can find one thing you did just for Jesus. Don't tell me you brought home flowers to your wife just for Jesus. You brought home flowers to your wife so your wife would say what a wonderful husband you were. Amen. What have you done just for Jesus? We have too many Christian fools in the world today. Brothers and sisters going to the house of God and talking about each other and backbiting each other and comparing one another with the other, covetous of one deacon's position and another pastor's position, and talking bad about the pastor behind his back, about his message, and disgracing the blaspheming that Paul said the Christians were blaspheming Jesus Christ. It was their behavior. It was their hypocrisy. Lord, have mercy. People are watching you, Christian. Wise up. You are a living testimony. You are a child of Almighty God. Understand your position in life. Your Father's God. When will you be wise? And so I'll end this sermon with the question we started with. Have I fooled you, Lord? Lord, have mercy. Brother Andy?
Yes, I'm here.
Brother Lewis, if you're listening this evening and you want to call in, I appreciate that. Brother Andy?
Yes, I'm here, Peter.
You know, it's a shame, you know, how watered down our Christianity can become. And sometimes...
That's true, Peter.
Yeah, and sometimes you do it and you don't even realize it. That you're compromising. You know, we work around people who are not saved, and we have some neighbors who are not saved, and they come to visit you, or you meet them at work, and they start cursing, and they start swearing, and brothers will stand there, and they won't even say, "Excuse me, but you swear a lot," or, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but, you know, you have your mouth is foul. And they say, "Well, what are you better than me?" No, but, you know, Joe, you're an intelligent man. Bob, you're an intelligent man. I would think you have more intelligent words than those. Or just walk away and say, "I'll talk to you later. I got to go." And instead, they stand there and listen to that filthy crap coming out of somebody's mouth like spewing sewage. And they grieve the Holy Spirit that's in them, compromise their Christian walk. Somebody else walked by listening to that person talk to them, and they say, well, that guy's supposed to be a Christian. What are they over there cursing and swearing? Man, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what the scriptures say. Amen.
Amen. Peter, do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you one thing. This has been phenomenal because... I went through a lot of valleys in my lifetime being a Christian, which was a teaching point for me. Most people don't realize that, you know. They get in a valley and they start complaining and this and that. And no. Go to God. He's teaching you something in that valley. And what you said tonight is very true. I go through this with a lot of people. They say they're Christian, yet they come and then they'll say, "Well, you're judging me." No, I'm not judging you. You made a statement which is completely different from what God wants in your life.
Amen.
And I tell them straight out when I preach on the streets. I'm not fooling anyone. My wife and I, as I've told you before, we have our morning devotions here. My wife has been an evangelist traveling all over the world in ministry work and helping others. But when we get up in the morning, we don't build ourselves up because we're so big of what we did. We do our morning devotions to God in order to keep us straight during the day. And if anything, any bad thing comes into my mind, which it has at times, I'm human. There's only one that was like Christ. But I rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. That's what I preached the other day on the streets, Peter. I says, "I'm not talking here. This is the word of God. God is talking to you. Listen to the word of God." I went from Isaiah 53 into Nicodemus visiting in, I believe, John 3, if I'm not mistaken right now. But I value what you have said, because everything you have said, Dr. Peter, is absolutely true. There's no getting away from it.
But you know what the sad thing is? People are going to churches I have people that come to the Tuesday night Bible study here in Imperial Beach at our home, and they tell me, brother, we've been in Baptist churches, we've been in Methodist churches, we come from Lutheran backgrounds, we come from Catholic backgrounds, we've never had the Bible talk to us.
Amen.
I had one fellow tell me the only time I got, he was in a Methodist church, he said the only time I ever got to learn anything about the Bible and gospel was in the choir when I was singing.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
Amen, you know, and amen.
And so we'll become so soft, you know, such a soft, everything's soft and so politically correct. He's not a drug addict. He's not a doper. He's a chemically dependent individual. It's not a prison. It's not the slammer. It's not the big house. It's an institution. It's not a correction. It's a correctional facility. And we don't have parolees, we have clients. And they're making the world so feminine and so soft that before you know it, people are going to be walking into hell and won't know they're there until the sulfur singes their nose.
Amen.
You know, it's a shame. I was in a store the other day. We were looking for a communion tray and some things and some bulletins, Christian store. And I really don't like to support a lot of these Christian ministries because a lot of them are not, you know, they're supporting anything, and it's a disgrace. But you have to buy some of these things sometimes there, and you have to kind of, you know, not compromise your Christian walk and go in and get your stuff and get out the bread, you know, for the communion, unless you want to use, you know, matzah or something. I saw a crown in there of thorns from the Middle East, and I was so awestruck at the crown of thorns, my Savior, how he suffered for me, and how he was humiliated, and how can I not bow down before him and glorify him, thank him for his sacrifice to save me from hell. Hell's a real literal place. And there's preachers out there preaching that it doesn't even exist. And them crazy Jehovah's Witnesses are out there preaching that hell's the grave. When you die, you go to the grave. Hey, listen, Jesus said hell is a literal place with fire and gates and keys. Amen. If you knew at the airport right now, there was an airplane sitting, and in that airplane was a bomb, you would do everything in your power to tell anybody you could to get those 200 people off that plane. It's about to explode. And if you did not, all the fingers in the nation of condemnation would be pointed at you.
That's
and
right.
Here my brothers know that there are lost sinners dropping off the earth every day by the millions on their way to hell, and they won't even reach out and tell them. They're sitting on the bottom of hell.
And that's so true, brother, let me tell you. That's why we keep going on, and you keep going on with your ministry, which is wonderful. I have the street ministry here. Before that, I was in the churches from Canada all the way down to Florida and all. And I've heard a lot of this stuff. One of the preachers out there now had gotten to a confrontation with the Pope on, I think it was on gay rights or something of that nature. But this is what we all go through that really love the Lord. You know, I love the Lord beyond all measure, beyond my wife. I love my wife, but I love my Lord Jesus Christ first and above all things. Period and report.
Well, you know what, brother? They tell me, you know, and I want to tell you something about preaching. Years ago, this is a true story. Years ago, as the preaching was turning into this soft, patting on the back of the head stuff, go ahead and sin all week and come on in, it's okay. That's not Bible preaching. That's man-made. I want to get numbers in my church. I don't want to lose money. I'll placate my people. I'll let them do whatever they want. I'll let them wear whatever they want. I'll let them think whatever they want, behave in any manner they want, as long as I'm getting numbers and money.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do more for God. Well, you're not doing more for God. They're doing more harm. But there was a movement some years ago, and Dr. Vince Massa from Stamford, Connecticut, Brother Jim Lintz, who is now going on to be with the Lord from North Carolina, Brother Andrew Saussure has a church in Louisiana, and Dr. Ruckman down in Florida, and, you know, don't call me a Ruckmanite. He's done more. I know there are people that don't like him. They feel he's a disrespectful preacher, but I'd have to pray to care any less at this point in my life. There is nobody that has done more for the King James Bible in support of it than Dr. Ruckman. Coming out of Tom Malone and some of these other men, they started preaching old path preaching. And these other preachers came to him and told him, you can't preach like this. You can't preach like that. And they said, why not? And he said, because you lose your congregation. Listen, you know, a good pastor knows that you can preach. You can't drive sheep all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
But you certainly, the place to get it, you know, Bible study will get you edified and bring you in a closer walk to the Lord, but people don't even know. Sunday service will get your heart right. That preaching will get your heart right, that conviction. If your pastor doesn't tell you the truth and he's letting you go home without hearing it, if God's put it on his heart and he's suppressing it and he's not feeding you, he's not bringing any. Listen, there's no spiritual conviction, and that, you know, 85% of televangelists. But if there's no spiritual conviction in your heart, if you didn't leave the church a changed person and fired up for the rest of the week, you need to find another church. There's something wrong. If your pastor's afraid to tell you you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell, you better get right. Better tell you some things about yourself from the scriptures. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't soft soap the scriptures. He told those Pharisees, you snakes. You bunch of vipers. You know, he called them vipers. Well, what's a viper?
That's
a deadly
right.
snake. He said, you vipers, you bunch of snakes. You're a bunch of snakes. Those were the religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say something else. Brother Andrew, myself, Brother Hill, sometimes Brother Raymond's on here, Brother Lewis, we don't hate anybody. We don't hate Catholics. We don't hate Mormons. We don't hate Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't agree with their doctrine. But we love them. We
Amen.
Come to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is, you know, I got in a prison. I got in a dispute with the Muslims. They were angry at me because I was passing out jack chick tracks and information that called Allah the Moon God. I mean, you know, I didn't write that stuff. It was in a jack chick supported that, and it was, you know, talking about who was in the Kabbalah out there in the Middle East and where a lot of these religions came from, and they got sensitive to that, and they decided that they were going to do something to me. And so I grabbed their imam one day, and I asked for a meeting with the imam, and I sat down with him, and I said, listen, we're the United States of America. I said, you're free to believe whatever you want. That's up to you. I said, but don't try and make me believe what you believe. I don't have to believe it. This is America. You're free to believe what you want. You don't
Amen.
Have to believe what you believe. And I told him, you guys won't put a hit on me and kill me because I'm telling people about Jesus Christ and my feelings about Islam. And yet they're walking around with books that are defacing Jesus Christ and demoting my Lord. And I'm not going to kill anybody over it. I'm going to pray for them.
Amen.
And you know what he told me? He says, you're right. He says, I have a friend in Israel who's a Christian, just wrote a book, and I'd like you to read it. And then he told me, you're right. He says, and I'm going to talk to the fellows. I have influence and sway with them here, and I will speak to them. And I never had another problem after that.
Yeah.
You know? But no, we're in America. Hey, listen, we have freedom of speech. I mean, the law says you can't put a tract in a federal mailbox. You can't hang it off a mailbox. But you're free in America to go out and to distribute Christian literature anywhere where there's no sign that says no soliciting.
Yeah.
And the apartment building, the homeowner or the owner of an apartment complex cannot tell you that you cannot distribute to any apartment there. He cannot post a sign saying no soliciting. You're free to go to anybody's apartment. It's up to the apartment owner to tell you that you cannot. Now, if you think I'm wrong, you go to the Christian Law Association website out of Florida, Dr. David Gibbs. And he, if you're not familiar with Dr. Gibbs Ministry, Christians, he goes to court. He defends Christians. He defends pastors. And he defends many cases on Christian issues. And you go to his website, and there's live programs. There's audio. Bite sound bites from different news briefs and things that he puts out on a regular basis and gives you the cases, the names, and tells you what you can and, you know, what the latest law is. And there is no law stopping us from distributing. In fact, it was the Jehovah's Witnesses who just won a major Supreme Court ruling last year saying that we have the right to disseminate literature. That's the First Amendment right.
Amen. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press, baby. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, we should never be afraid of that. And you know, if you lack courage, there's a lot of brethren that lack courage. You need to step out in faith. Just step out in faith and ask God,
Amen.
Say, you know, Lord, I haven't won a soul to Jesus, or I haven't won a soul to Jesus in a long time. And we're not really soul winning. We're soul warning. But Jesus, the God, the Holy Spirit brings that conviction to them. And you need to, you know, listen, if get listeners, mail that comes to you, it's return mail, and with the information, I'll put a track in. Send it back. That's what I'm going to do. Amen? I have a right to disseminate information I didn't ask for. I'm giving it back to them. I'm not abusing the postal office. You know, that's my answer to your request. Find Jesus. And so if you don't have the experience and you feel you can't win a soul, you need to talk to your pastor. If your pastor's not out winning souls at least once a week, at least a minimum once a week, if your pastor isn't out with you, you need to go find a church where you have a pastor who's an example. Jesus, that's a command of the Lord. And so what I'm saying is that you can take a tract, you can leave it in a phone booth, you can leave it at the bank. I met a fellow from Florida several years ago, who drove into a bank to do an outside, you know, those drive-up tellers, and he was going to do a transaction. And on the while he was waiting for the transaction, he looked out. Somebody had left the track there. He read the track while he was waiting for his transaction, and he got saved. I met him. He was a prison minister, and now he's down in Florida. He has a ministry. You don't know what's going to happen to that track.
Amen.
And so put that track out there. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Leave it in a phone booth. Leave it on a bookshelf. I go to the post office, and you know what? I pick up my mail in a P.O. box I have my home mail, but I also have a P.O. box, and I'll leave a track on the counter. Whether they use it, throw it away, I don't know. Last year, a man was getting on the bus on a trolley out here in California. He was a Chinese man. He was from China. He was Chinese, and he was on the bus. It was a trolley, it's like a train out here, and somebody, it had been a rainy day, and somebody had dropped track from the church, and people had walked all over it, and he was moved by God to pick it up. He picked it up, he read it, he got saved, he showed up at the church.
You never know.
Hey, let me tell you one other thing, Andy. Here's a funny story, and this is true. You know, you know what they said when Jesus... They after they saw Jesus do many miracles, they walked away and they said, "We have seen strange things today." And you know what? I've seen strange things. God is a wonderful God. And one day, one of the people from the church at White Oak Baptist Church in Stratford, Connecticut, Pastor Michael Peslak was there, and they were handing out tracts. I was teaching Sunday school there, and somebody wrote to the church and said, "I received a tract. I'd like to know more about Jesus. Somebody gave me a tract from your church." So the pastor said to me, "You know, Peter," he says, "why don't you take this letter and see if you could find this guy in Bridgeport, Connecticut?" And I drove down to Bridgeport with another fella, and he, you know, it was a bad part of town, And so the fellow stayed with his car. He had a BMW or something. I don't know what he had there, but he stayed with his car, and I started walking down through his section, and I got to this housing complex. There happened to be at least 200 or 300 apartments up there. And I walked to the front of the place, and I said to the man standing there in front, I said, "Do you know where I could find this man?" And I handed him the envelope. And he looked at me, and he said, "I am that man."
Praise God.
Amen. And and I want him to
perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character hope, and there's always hope in Christ Jesus. But they got to persevere. They have to go out and just not say, "I'm a Christian," and stay home all week. That's ridiculous.
Hey, you know what? I'm not only witnessing to that guy, and he got saved, but the guy sitting on the wall near us said, "I need a Bible." I said, "Sit still. I'll be back."
That's what I tell people out there. You can't play games. If you're ready to repent, that's the first thing I'm starting now to ask. And thanks to my brother Peter here. But it is true. I read the Bible to them, different things. I went from Isaiah 53, which is the coming of the Lord many, many years before he came, telling Isaiah what he's, and he did go through everything in Isaiah 53, chapter 53. Then I went to Nicodemus coming at night because he doesn't want his cohorts to hear him, you know, or to see him there, but they'll ruin him. And then he goes into, "I know you, Jesus. I know that you are a man of God, a man of God." See? See what I'm saying? Don't get me preaching, Peter. Let me tell you.
They know. And you know what? But a lot of times I'll meet people on the street and we'll start talking about what they believe and what they don't believe. And I said, "Let me show you something from the Bible." And I tell them straight, I'm not trying to preach to you. I want you to read it yourself. It's the Word of God. I know when they read it, God's going to be in it. And so I hand it to them and show them the verse. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, take them down the Romans road and let them read it for themselves. So now they don't feel like you're preaching to them. But the conviction comes to their heart through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
we're going to wrap it up here, but if you would give an invitation, because I'm sure there might be somebody out there, a brother, who needs to rededicate their life to Christ and somebody who needs to get saved. And if you'd give that invitation, I'd be grateful, brother.
Well, thank you very much. I hope we all heard what Dr. Peter said tonight, because it's absolutely the truth. Either you're sold out to God or you're not. Now, here's what I have to say tonight here to all of you out there. Now, listen very intently. Are any of you out there ready to repent for your sins? Are any of you out there ready to repent for your sins? That you have a hollow place in your heart and you don't know why? Because it's not Jesus Christ. So if you're ready to repent for your sins, and listen very closely, repeat after Andrew. "I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth for the remission of sins. He died on the cross, and the third day he arose again. And I believe that, and I will be a servant of the Lord from here on in, from this day." And I ask you right now, if you said that, God is not complicated. Satan wants you to be complicated. He puts things in your mind. Don't believe in that. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Find yourself a good church where God says to study to show thyself approved. That's what you must do. Find yourself a good church where the true, not the surface stuff, is preached, where the rubber meets the road, so you can have a life of grace and happiness with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Peter.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, I'm grateful for that, and I appreciate you giving that invitation. If you've prayed with Brother Andrew tonight, and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, then the Bible says that you have assurance that if you died right now, you would go to heaven, and you're saved. You cannot lose that salvation. That's the promise of God. And God will fill you as you read his word wash you and cleanse you. Your life will change. You need to find a good King James Version church, good Bible-believing church. You can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com, ventura.peter77@gmail.com, or you can call 203-240-0377. That's 203-240-0377. That's my personal line. I'd love to hear from you if you just received Christ as your Savior, or you can email sounddoctrinebroadcast.blogspot.com. That's sounddoctrinebroadcast.blogspot.com. You can go onto that site on the, or Nathan on the Spot and let us know. So, you know, you don't have to give us your personal information, but if you do, I'd like to give you some, send you some literature to read. I have a book called The Next Step that I would love to send you, and I'm sure you'd enjoy, and that would help you along in your Christian walk. And we want to thank Nathan on the Spot. We're planning next Thursday to have a very, very special program. We have a pastor's chaplain's wife. He has recently passed away, and we've asked his wife to come on and several other women to share a kind of a woman's hour. I don't normally do this, but I felt the Lord push me. You know, I don't believe women should teach men, but I believe they should teach, not use usurp authority over men. I believe they should teach women and children, and I think that's the place. I mean, and privately, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, you know, taught Apollos, but what I'm saying is that we're going to have a little something special here. And if you're a Christian woman or you know a Christian woman who's gone through the grieving process or lost a loved one, or you're in the midst of somebody you know is in hospice, or you just want to talk with some ladies, we're going to have some Christian women on for you. And they love the Lord, and you're going to hear a good testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ brought them through those hard times. And so I'm talking about women who have suffered physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, and women who just live good Christian lives and, you know, just suffered the wiles of the devil. And women who have gone through some experiences that you may be going through. And so I'm going to kind of just set myself aside that night. I might introduce a host and then allow that to go. And I hope you'll join. If you're a Christian woman, you have a daughter or a granddaughter or somebody, some other woman in the family, that you would join these ladies, and you'll be, I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm not going to give away who it is. You'll have to check the post to see who's coming and who's not. And I thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine Broadcast. And we thank Nathan on the Spot. Thank John Hill. Say hello to Brother Schuler, who has really been an inspiration. Thank everybody for your prayers around the world. God bless you, Brother Lewis and Fred Doherty, Scott and Angelica. And I want to thank my wife. Being a pastor's wife is not an easy job, and I don't have such a large ministry, but you know I have what the Lord's given me, and we're faithful in that. And my wife, you know, she's just going through surgery. And she's a strong woman. She does a lot of praying for this program and for the listeners. And I just want to thank my wife. You know, I met a pastor. Somebody else asked him, you know, who are you calling all the time? Who are you calling? He said, well, I'm calling my wife. And he said, well, isn't that expensive? He said, a lot cheaper than a divorce. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Nathan. Good night, Brother Andrew, and your wife, Nona. Thank her for her prayers. We love you all. The Lord bless you. We hope you tune in next week and get edified. Until then, knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus Christ.
though I've been set free. At times I am struggling between a want and a need. So I put on a breastplate and grab a shield of faith, wear a helmet of salvation, and shod my feet with the preparation. And grab a sword that is the word, and gird my waist with truth to be prepared to be filled by you. I repent, I turn away, no longer does sin have its hold on me. To your precious amazing grace, and yes, to the choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice, listen, trust, follow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn away. Flesh is a weak thing that has little restraint. I'm liable to draw faint, but in the Lord my strength is regained. And at the cross, all sins are lost, and I claim the victory as I shout and praise my God. I repent, I turn away, no longer does sin have its hold on me. To your precious amazing grace, and yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice, listen, trust, follow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn.